Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Thank you very much indeed for that. The scale of the devastation we're going to discuss now will be difficult to comprehend. War has raged in Sudan since April of last year between the Sudanese army under the country's de facto ruler there, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, and the paramilitary rapid support forces led by his former deputy, Mohamed Hamdan Daglo. US-mediated ceasefire talks are now to get underway in Switzerland, although the Sudanese government is set to stay away from them. Earlier, I spoke with Adil Al-Mahi, Med Global's country director in Sudan, and began by asking him for his reaction to the start of the talks.
I think as a humanitarian, I thought the government would be part of these talks, but there are some other political consideration that we as humanitarians looking at it apart from this, because what we want is a safe passage for the aid to the needy people in Khartoum, in Jazeera State, in Darfur, in some parts of Kordofan as well. So we feel like disappointed to some extent that the government is not part of these talks, but at the same time disappointed that there might not be really very good results of these talks in the absence of one of the conflict worrying parties.
It's in fact the US that insisted the talks go ahead, despite the Sudanese government staying away and previous rounds of talks in Jeddah coming to nothing. But the US making the point that the suffering people of Sudan need some type of progress or some type of dialogue. But what hope is there for those people who are suffering if the government isn't there?
I think the issue here, probably sometimes I feel like as a humanitarian, I work for Med Global, which is a medical NGO working in Sudan for the last 5 years. I feel like there is also a missing part because the international community made a commitment of over $2 billion to support in the humanitarian efforts. Until today, until we are now, we are speaking at least less than 20% of these commitments were honored by international community. So sometimes when I think, even if the passage was ensured by all parties, if they ensure that the aid convoys will be crossing into the areas to the needy people, where is this aid? Do we have enough money? Is there enough money to buy it? Is there enough resources to buy that? Mm-hmm. I think it's very disappointing to the people of Sudan, especially those ones who are trapped in areas like El Fasher and North Darfur, where they needed really. I was just reading a report this afternoon from Kadugli, in South Kordofan, which is a green area, which is an area, fertile land. People could not really go to farming. And now they started eating the grass. So for those ones, it would be really very disappointing to hear that these talks have failed, or one party has not come there, or the commitment by international community have not been offered.
Can I tell you, Adil, people eating grass, I think, will resonate with our listeners. We had a great famine in our own country. It's over 150 years ago or so now, but they resorted at the time here to that as well. So that I think, will resonate. Can you give people listening an indication as to the scale of the suffering, the famine, the displacement in Sudan at the moment?
Yeah, as you said, it's rightly there, if people understand, when you say that people are eating grass, that means they have nothing at home to eat. And especially the vulnerable people, the elderly, the children, the lactating mothers, they can't find proper food to eat so that they can keep up with the situation. It's a very horrible situation here. What I'm saying is that even the fertile lands in some parts of Sudan, people were not able to go to to do farming because of insecurity, and many of them have opted to move out of unsafe areas to safe areas in eastern Sudan, in northern Sudan. They become IDPs. They are now waiting for, you know, the handouts by other people. So the situation is really very grave.
It's extremely grave for so many millions of people. How difficult is it for those handouts to arrive? How difficult is it for your organizations and charities like yours to bring medical supplies and food supplies?
I think up till now we've been able to bring some medical supplies for areas concentrated or having a concentration of displaced people. Only the bureaucratic impediments passing through customs and, you know, in a war zone, normally procedures become a little bit tough and difficult to pass through. But the roads are open to most of the eastern Sudan, up to Gadarif, where there is also concentration of IDPs in Kassala, in the northern Sudan. I've been to Wadi Halfa, the border with Egypt, 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. And I could see, you know, there are IDPs all over the place. And there is no hope. When you look at somebody in his eyes, in his face, there is no hope. And I was asking an elderly woman, where are you going and from where you were? She said from Al-Fashir, North Darfur. She doesn't know where she is because this is the first time to come to the northern state and to look at, you know, all this desert and the sands around her. So, and what is the hope there? Mm-hmm. People, they may not really be able to tell you anything, what will happen tomorrow even, leave alone thinking about the future.
It's really frightening. And the numbers as well, we've discussed previously, Adil, on this programme, 10 million people displaced, 25 million facing acute hunger in the way that you have laid out as well. How are hospitals coping?
Let's talk about the medical, the health system, the healthcare system in Sudan have been affected. At least 70% of the hospitals in the areas affected by the conflict have been either destroyed or bombarded. As I speak to you now, I'm having a report from El Obeid, which is the capital of Kordofan, where it has been bombarded. Two schools, one primary school and one high school, plus the market, and there are hundreds of injured people. Still, there is no clear report about the affected people there. So when you look at this, even yesterday, a hospital which had been occupied by the rapid support force since the start of this war in Omdurman had been now taken care of by the army and then repaired, and then it's a maternity hospital. So they opened it the day before yesterday. Yesterday it has been bombarded again. So it looks like the health care system is sort of like targeted by this. Mm-hmm. All the infrastructure around is really either in the conflict area, either being destroyed or in the catchment area of displaced people have been really suffering from the high load of number of patients. If a hospital was designed for 50,000, now it's dealing with like 500,000 people.
And if a hospital is targeted, you're targeting the most vulnerable people in a conflict situation.
Exactly.
You ask a really pertinent question of all of the millions and of dollars that have been pledged by world leaders. Less than a fifth have arrived in Sudan. So where is the rest? We'll talk again. Director of Med Global in Sudan, Adil Al-Mahi, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.